good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
And I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
World government is the structure necessary for global justice.
First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, to many, a bitter pill. Pat Robertson has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. We're going to fight them off. A United Nations Army couldn't hold us back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Our individual first aid kits are now on sale. They're Mali-compatible pouches in Coyote, ACU, OD, or Black. They're equipped with an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, TK4 tourniquet, suture kit, and lots of extras. It's perfect for your car, bug-out bag, or home first aid kit. Go to the PrepperRecon.com homepage and click on the IFAC store tab at the top of the page. They're on sale for $89, and that includes shipping. This kit could save your life.
Today's guest is David Quintieri of themoneygps.com. David, welcome back on the show.
Thank you very much for having me once again. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, absolutely. We always have a good time when you're on, and we always cover a lot of good stuff. There's never any shortage of good stuff to cover either, is there?
That's for sure. Obama and the administration always, unfortunately, always give us good material.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose the thing that everybody's talking about right now is the surge in the U.S. dollar. Did that catch you by surprise, or have you always thought that the dollar would be the last domino to fall? I mean, after all, I think the surge probably has nothing to do with the health of the dollar, but rather it's the stage four demise of the other currencies.
That's right. I mean, you look at the numbers of the stock market, you look at the value of the dollar or the perceived value of the dollar, and it seems like it's totally fictional to me because the dollar itself is supposed to represent the health of the U.S. economy and the foundation of the American structure, but unfortunately, all of that has disappeared a long time ago. So when the dollar surges and every financial analyst out there is just so bullish because of it, it is quite amazing to see this, particularly when I speak to individuals in the industry. They're so clueless as to what's going on, and surely we'll cover that here today, I'm sure. But what I wanted to discuss is the actual dollar index, and I'm sure your guests are, readers are very informed, so we don't have to go into detail, but what I wanted to say was that you're having this dollar index, but it's only one currency versus other currencies. But all currencies are in a race to the bottom, and they're continuously printing up the money. So assuredly, you're going to have ups and downs depending on what's happening globally, but it's never in relation to real assets. That's where the fraud comes in.
And do you think this surge is going to have other countries joining the bandwagon and calling for a new global reserve currency?
Absolutely. You already see that with the BRIC nations, particularly Russia and China. They are constantly, it seems like every week I see a new article coming out where some sort of official from China or Russia or one of these other nations suggesting that they need to go off of the dollar standard, saying that it is, you know, a terrible idea and so on and so forth. And I really believe that there's more headway being made. You can see all of the trades being done in yuan now, and they're small compared to the US dollar. That's the argument I hear often. Look, it's just insignificant. But the real fact is that they continue to do it, and there gets more and more and more, and it will pile on. Reserve currencies don't change overnight. And just in case nobody's ever opened up their history book, you need to understand that a reserve currency doesn't last forever. There have been other reserve currencies in the past. That's for sure.
And can you expound a little bit on what's happening in the global currency markets? And does any of this trace back to U.S. meddling in other people's business, like sanctions against Russia?
Absolutely. What we have right now is undoubtedly a currency war that is taking place. You can see one country after another trying to devalue their own dollars in order to make their exports cheaper, to stay competitive in the markets. Undoubtedly, that's what I've seen over the past few years especially. But then it goes even deeper, where you see actual statements being made into the public where Russia and China are there, out there, calling for a new reserve currency. They want a basket of currencies. They want to use the yuan, as I said before, as, you know, a major trading platform. So a lot of things are happening right now, and I see big changes happening, but I wouldn't really be too optimistic in this happening anytime in the near future. It's going to happen slow and steady. The decline of the dollar will be slow and steady, and then you will have a slow and steady increase in the value of these emerging market economies.
And one of the effects of the surge in the dollar has been the complete wipeout of the precious metals prices. This past weekend, we saw silver close below 1680. Are we at a bottom, or do you think we'll go lower?
The price of the metals that you're seeing are never a cause for concern, as far as I'm concerned, because these are the futures, these are the paper assets, and undoubtedly they can manipulate that price to anything they want. You can see, if you look at the flash crashes that occurred with these high-frequency traders, the computer algorithms, these stocks go crazy in a minute. They can send it up and down in any direction, and they could do the same thing with the precious metals markets. And in fact, they do. I would like to get into that in a moment. But what I wanted to say was that you know, when you have silver, especially when you have gold, you have something that's real, you have something that's finite. And we know the statistics. We know that not enough is being mined out of the ground. We know these facts, these absolute facts. So I wouldn't be concerned about where the price is at and where they're going to manipulate it, because undoubtedly, you're going to have something of real value which you can pass down from generation to generation. It doesn't matter what they set the price at. That's not why you should have bought it in the first place. You should buy it to hold onto your wealth. And undoubtedly, precious metals will do that.
And you mentioned the supplies. And you're right. Supplies are getting tight, which means that there's probably really heavy demand, especially in the retail silver market. One of the most popular private mints is Sunshine Mint. And most of the big boy dealers are sold out of their Sunshine bars, including Atmex, Silver.com, and JM Bullion. Do you think these prices will trigger a supply crunch at the wholesale level?
They will, undoubtedly, and particularly because we know that the gold isn't there in where the U.S. Has their gold and other nations as well. They've leased out this gold, rehypothecated it 100 times over. It's all gone. So if that were to come out into the news and actually get pushed out there, we would know that the price would be many multiples higher than where it is today. So the question is, will they allow information like this to leak out into the public knowing what's going to happen? And that's something that's, you know, something to think about undoubtedly. But I would say you need to have some of your money in there regardless, because it's so important to have.
And typically when we see these periods of low prices mixed with high demand, the premium on silver American Eagles shoots through the roof, irrespective of the spot price. Silver Eagles are still available for $2.64 over spot at silver.com. Do you think now might be a good time to pull the trigger and buy some silver?
Absolutely. I think that, and I'm one to say that, you need to buy silver at any price, but now it's even more attractive because you have something, again, finite. It's something that you're going to want to have in your portfolio. Even if you only have a couple dollars in your pocket, why not get some of these metals? Just have them, store them away, keep them safe. Now, I would say that with caution because a lot of individuals, they have their precious metals, their gold, their silver, and they have two different things, gold and silver, and they think they're fully diversified. They're ready for the collapse. They think they're going to be a billionaire at the end of it, but that just isn't the case because there are other things happening here that we need to be prepared for. And gold and silver, while yes, they are probably the best way to preserve wealth generation to generation, no question. But if you don't have simple things like, for example, your storable food, your solar panels, your access to a good water supply, and, you know, I'll briefly talk about these later, but you have things that you need for preparation. Of course, this is Prepper Recon. So you need those things before you put your whole portfolio into something like gold and silver. So I would suggest really diversified, really diversified. It is so important right now. Even individuals like Mark Fauber are saying, look, if I only lose 50% of my money in this crash, I'm going to be happy. And when he's saying something like that, you really need to listen.
So first thing we need to do is have our food and our water, our beans, bullets, and Band-Aids, and maybe some solar systems, backup water sources, things like that, because you have to live through the collapse first. I kind of think about people that are just the people that you just mentioned that think that they're well diversified if they've got gold and silver. You know, gold and silver are, like you said, are great for long-term wealth preservation, but you have to live through that period of turmoil first. Otherwise, you're going to look like that guy that we always see in the old pirate movies when they discover the hidden treasure and there's the old pirate skeleton there and he's got the eye patch and the boots still on and the sword and he's sitting in a room with filled with gold and silver bullion and jewels and crowns and all of this stuff because he didn't have the other things that he needed to sustain life. And yes, he preserved his wealth very well, but he wasn't around to enjoy it.
That's exactly correct. That's a good example of what I'm talking about, because individuals, they really stick to what they know and they're afraid to venture off into other territories. Now, you may not really be interested in storable food. You may not really have an interest in where to get the best source of water, but you need to sit down and you need to realize what we're headed for is a collapse. And this isn't a joke. This is actually very serious. Your life is at stake, your family's life. Things like this could really happen. Now, we hope that it doesn't happen, but isn't it better to be prepared? And just sitting down, taking 10 minutes and just thinking of your escape plan, just thinking of the basic things may save your life one day. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, more important than any sort of investment that someone can get me on. Now, I'll say that again. I think silver and gold are undoubtedly the best of the best when it comes to wealth preservation, but you need those other things.
And it is very likely that we go through a very traumatic period, and with our just-in-time inventories, and if we suddenly have no way to do business because there's not a functional monetary unit for whether it's 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years, there's not going to be grocery stores, there's not going to be McDonald's, there's not going to be gas stations. All of these things can't function without some type of currency to act as an intermediary for farmer Joe to sell his eggs to buy more feed to feed the chickens and so on and so forth. And that whole production chain and supply chain breaks down, doesn't it?
That's exactly what happens. When you read history, this is exactly what you find out. So it's very important to sit down now, sit down today. Don't procrastinate on this. You need to really get a hold of this, the basics, what you're going to do to prepare. And obviously, the more diversified you are, not just what the financial advisors consider diversified, all in paper assets, of course, that's how they do this, but you need to have real diversification, have a plan, have a backup to that backup, and know that the worst could happen, so prepare for it, but we're going to hope for the best at the same time.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. KD Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles, up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spaw. Go to katiearmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today. And the unemployment rate just broke below 6%. Can you break that down for us? Are these high quality jobs that people are finding?
Absolutely. Everything is fine in the U.S. economy. There are no problems at all. And Obama is the savior. He is the emperor, and he should be crowned another 4 more years, as far as I'm concerned.
Good. So that means I've gotten everybody through it, and I can shut down the Prepper Recon podcast now, right?
That's right. Exactly. No, but to get back to reality, this number is so fake. It's crazy. I saw it go below 6% there, and I couldn't help but laugh because you look at the way they calculate the jobs numbers, and it's so fraudulent. For those who don't know, any individual who has been looking for work for a year, they get wiped off the stats. I mean, that's something that is so unbelievably fraudulent. I can't understand how they continue to do this. Then when you factor in, even just look at the U6 number, which is a government calculated number, that right there shows you a much higher rate. And then you look at, for example, teenagers are at 20% unemployment. And of course, it extends on into the rest of the world. Europe is under major unemployment problems right now. In certain areas, I believe Spain has 40 to 50% unemployment for their youth, and the unemployment rate for multiple countries is above 20% there. So unemployment is becoming a big problem. And you can look at shadow stats. Shadow stats does a good thing with the numbers. He recalculates everything. The fact remains is that when you don't have manufacturing, when you don't have a strong middle class, you will not have a strong country. And they're trying to get away with printing up money out of thin air, buying things called asset-backed securities, collateralized debt obligations, credit default swaps, and somehow giving the money to the banking system, and this is going to create jobs. If anybody with any sense can explain this to me, please do. I'm willing to listen. But so far, I have not heard anything reasonable.
And the BLS's own U6 number, that's over 13%. And like you mentioned, I don't even think that takes into account teenagers that you mentioned have a very high unemployment rate, or college students who have never been in the workforce because in the government's eyes, they didn't have a job and lose it. So they're not unemployed. They're more pre-employed, and they don't have any metric that counts those folks. And for the folks that are just coming out of college with a $150,000 student loan, they can't afford to take a $7 an hour job at McDonald's, because if they do, it's going to trigger their student loan repayment.
That's right. So they need to use the government facilities, and that ultimately puts a bigger burden on the government. So when you have debt that can't be paid back, and all you're doing is piling more on, this is going to create a problem down the road. Now, the question is it going to be a year from now, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? We're not really sure, but we know the direction it's heading. We know that it's not getting any better. So this is undoubtedly going to create a big problem for us. Now, if you want to look deeper into the statistics, I would definitely say looking at the inflation numbers are probably the most fraudulent of all, because you look at the way they calculate it and it's simply ridiculous, because when you exclude food and energy prices, probably the two most important thing for an individual, then of course you're going to have a rate that they consider too low. And that's how they get across to the politicians, to the individuals like ourselves, that they need to print more money. And of course, printing money has never solved anything.
And back to those shadow stats numbers, I think that John Williams, actually, he has a number where he adds all of the what we would call pre-employed people back into that number. And I think his unemployment number is 23%. So held up to the 5.9%, it sounds much scarier, doesn't it?
That's very accurate, because he's willing to sit there, and that's sort of what his specialty is recalculating all of these numbers. And I see what he's doing there, and it's great, it's excellent. Unfortunately, the public isn't listening, and certainly the mainstream media will not report it.
Now, if you remember back before the housing bubble popped in 2008, Ben Bernanke was on CNBC, and I think it was Maria Bartiromo that he was talking to then, and he said that he didn't believe we would have any housing crisis. And then when it evidently eventually became obvious that we would have a crisis, he said he was sure it would be contained to the subprime market. Now, we have Obama telling us that Ebola isn't that easy to catch. If we can't trust the government to know what's going on in a collapsing housing market or tell us the truth about unemployment, can we trust them on something as serious as Ebola?
I would definitely not take their word for it at all. In fact, if they say something, chances are it's the exact opposite. They told us in 1929, just before the Great Depression began, they said there would be a perpetual boom in the stock market. There is no such thing as a decline anymore. And it was only a short period of time after where they had that drop of nearly 90% in the stock market. That's when you know things are bad, is when they say that this is it. This time is different, and it's never like that. It's never like that historically and statistically. So when you talk about things like Ebola, as you're mentioning, that is something that we need to be obviously concerned about. What I would suggest is there was the petition on the White House website, and I'm not sure if you saw that, to stop the flights coming from those nations and to sort of contain what's happening. And of course, nothing like this, like that will be done, because they say that they have questionnaires and they say that they have the sort of the TSA screening process that will get this sort of thing. But that's just not the way it works.
And to be fair, I should probably mention that the Fed isn't actually a government agency, so we shouldn't really blame them for that. But the BLS certainly is, so
that's sure.
That's probably an accurate accusation of the lies coming out of that agency. But now, if we did see an outbreak in North America, do you think that might trigger an economic collapse, as people might get nervous about going shopping and going to the movies and going out to eat and going to work? And do you think that could have a chilling effect on the economy and the consumer confidence?
A substantial problem will occur if this actually does have if there is actually an outbreak in the US or any of the Western nations. You're going to have chaos, and people are definitely not ready for an Ebola crisis, let alone something, a natural disaster that, you know, that happens occasionally. So undoubtedly something like Ebola is something to worry about, and people aren't even prepared with the most basic things. And that's what's really frightening. Because it's not just about a financial collapse, economic collapse. There are other types of things. You could have tornadoes and hurricanes and all sorts of natural disasters, and people aren't prepared. So Ebola is definitely one of those things, another reason to have your stuff in order.
And back to economics, you do some really great videos on your YouTube channel. which is Money GPS. You recently did one that covered the European bail-ins. Can you give the folks a brief explanation of what a bail-in is, and then tell us if that's something that you think could happen in America?
Absolutely. So many of the countries have already put in the framework for a bail-in. Now, bailouts are just not politically good for these individuals when they market the bailout. Look, we have to save the banking system. So they devise this new strategy called a bail-in. Sounds quite nice. And what they did was actually, in Cyprus, they actually went into the bank accounts of individuals, took out a percentage of their money, and used it to recapitalize the banks. And they did so successfully with only minor rioting, and they just calmed those individuals down. Now, a lot of people in the financial industry had suggested that this would only happen in Cyprus. It would not happen in other countries. But the framework has been set up in Canada, Germany, in the EU, and even other things have been done in Australia, which I can get to. And what's happened is they call it a bail-in regime according to the budget report, the Action Plan 2013 for Canada, where they said in the unlikely event of a collapse scenario, let's call it, we would have to recapitalize the banks and we would use a bail-in. Now, later on, after this caused a little bit of outrage in the mainstream media, they came out there and said, this is not, we are not going to do what they did in Cyprus. We have these special funds set up for this type of situation and we'll use it to recapitalize the banks. Now, that sounds all fine and dandy, and that allowed everything to tame down, and it didn't get any really big attention. But I have the very simple question. Why did we have a collapse scenario that occurred? The banks were all weak. The shares were starting to tumble. When you had these special funds set up, why didn't you use them then? And in fact, the Fed bailed out Canadian banks. Why didn't they use these special funds instead of getting a bailout from a central bank of another nation? It doesn't make any sense. Of course, these funds probably don't even exist, and they will undoubtedly go for the bail-ins, especially have we seen this historically. And then they have the framework set up in all these different countries. It's going to happen. Other people, even in the alternative news, aren't talking about it, aren't making a big deal about it. But on my channel, in my work, I consistently make a big deal about it.
And how do we hedge ourselves against a bail-in? We've talked a little bit about silver. Maybe that's a good plan. But now, even if we have a bail-in, the currency is probably still going to continue to function. Is it a good idea to keep some cash outside of the banking system?
Absolutely. You want some of everything, actually, would be the best. If you need, and I mean, I understand people's, their daily transactions that they need to do, they use their bank, and that's okay to have some money in the bank. But a lot of people put all of their savings in the bank. They have perhaps a few mutual funds or some stocks. So they have all of their money in the banking system, that same banking system that's extremely fragile, extremely risky. So what I suggest people do is to have their money in a situation where they have enough to pay their bills in the bank. Now they take their money out and they buy real assets with that. So yes, some silver, some gold, and some other things. You don't want to even keep it, I believe, you don't want to even keep this in the safety deposit boxes because they could certainly confiscate that as well, consider it properly. Look, we need to recapitalize the banks. We need to use your assets. And that's just the way it is. People, a lot of people don't think it can happen, but anything can certainly happen.
And, one of the things we often talk about on Prepper Recon is the need for self-defense, because when things go haywire, a lot of the police are going to stay home to take care of their own families. And part of being a responsible gun owner, I think, is having a safe. Even if you don't have kids, if you ever have kids in your home, or just when you leave and go to the grocery, you've got a nice safe place to lock your guns up. I think a safe is a great investment. You can get one that's resistant to fire for up to 20 minutes, which in good times you should be able to get a fire truck to your house within 20 minutes. But I think that's a great investment, and you can bolt that to the floor and it'll protect your guns, and you can also keep your cash in there as well and protect it from the regular thieves.
That's right. You need to have a safe in your house. You need to protect the things that are very important for these times. And again, you hope that you don't ever need to use it, but isn't it great knowing, better than any insurance policy that you can buy from one of these corporations, to have your own insurance policy that you have done yourself?
And then they say one of the safest things to have is the thing that nobody else knows exists. So if you've got maybe a little backyard or something, and you've got a good place that you can dig a hole and stash some cash in an airtight waterproof container, which plastic ammo cans are really, really great for that. And if you just want to make sure it's double protected, you can always throw it in a couple of garbage bags and duct tape it. But those plastic ammo cans have a rubber seal inside of them. And when you clamp them down and lock that, then that's airtight inside there. And you can throw a little cash, maybe some silver and maybe even some gold in there. And that's something that nobody will ever, even if a robber broke in and found your safe, they'd never even know to look for that.
Right. That's all good tips there. I would suggest when you're doing these sort of things, you definitely want to make sure that it's either late at night or in a situation where the neighbors don't know. You never know what could happen. You need to really be cautious of this kind of thing because it is so serious. It is a concern.
And check for drones. Because now every 8-year-old's getting a drone for Christmas this year. I predict that's going right. to be the hot seller for Christmas this year. Now, can you tell us about your free ebooks?
Absolutely. So I have 3 free ebooks available. And in fact, I also have a free version of my book. But if you want the free ebooks, the most simple way to do that is go to any one of my videos and look in the description and you'll see those books there. I also have the Money GPS Insider, and that is an email subscription list where people can get on and get all sorts of good information through there. I send out an email every few days. People can get on that and get some good information, some good intel from there. And of course, my book is The Money GPS, and people have really learned a lot from that, from the feedback I've got. It gets into the finance, but not really too deep into it. It's really simple. It uses diagrams to explain things. And I've really got good feedback from people in the finance industry as well as people out of it. So it has a really wide array for people to take in and learn a lot of information from.
And then at themoneygps.com, you have, you do like a daily minute update. Is that right?
Well, basically, if they go to themoneygps.com, that is all of my newest YouTube videos. So they can go there or they can go to the YouTube channel and search for The Money GPS. Either one, it has the same content. And that's basically a video which I do practically every single day. And there are about 7,000 or so subscribers on there. It's a growing number. And what I like to get into is the topics that we've talked about today. I don't really talk about necessarily what happens on a given day, but I talk about preparation and how it's practical to the individual. I look at the mainstream media news and I dissect it and I look in deeper and I use historical facts connecting the dots.
Well, David, thanks again for taking time to come on the show. It's always a lot of great information that you give us when you're on.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I just wanted to say just one more thing. The individuals that are getting into preparation, really commend that. I think it's very important to do so. And we need to not look at the mainstream media and what they try to tell us every single day. We need to, as I said, dissect that information, look into it deeper, and make those choices to best suited for our families, for their safety.
And it's insurance, right? And you don't buy health insurance and then at the end of the year think, rats, I spent all that money on health insurance and I didn't get sick.
That's exactly correct. We are looking at it as an insurance policy. Perhaps you'll never need it, and that's a good thing. So you want that to happen. You never want to have to use it. So let's hope for the best.
But unlike a health insurance policy, at the end of the year, you still have your premium. If you bought silver and gold and beans and bullets and Band-Aids, you still own your premium. You didn't give it to some corporation that got spent spent on derivatives at Goldman Sachs. It's you still own it.
That's correct. You buy it at the price which you find reasonable, whether silver's at $16 or whether it's at $60. If you're comfortable with that price, you buy it, you keep it, and you have it forever.
All good stuff. David, thanks again.
Thank you.
In American Reset, the final chapter of the economic collapse chronicles, the ultimate contest between liberty and tyranny reaches the apex. The Bear family and their neighbors learn the true value of community as they rely on each other to survive the war and the effects of the financial meltdown. Will the collapse bring an oppressive regime that enslaves the American people, or will the patriots prevail and guide the country back to a place of freedom, peace, and prosperity? Get your copy of American Reset in Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.